The bat phone at the Guyer household rang at 1:30 this morning. Pastor Sonny is still stuck in California. The flights were canceled. She could not get in today. So she that was basically her alert that I was going to go in as a replacement. So what I'm actually going to talk to you about today is on the topic of don't forget who we are. But it is all of Pastor Sonny's, it's like 95% of Pastor Sonny's sermon, which she sent me on email. So I take no credit for it. This is her sermon. I am merely the deliverer. So the sermon actually starts with a story of a couple watching television one evening, and the husband decided he'd go into the kitchen and get something. And his wife said, "Honey, I would like to have some iced tea." Well, then she realized, of course, that her husband was a little on the older side and that the years had taken a toll on his memory. So she suggested that he write it down. And he said, "I can remember iced tea, honey." Then she said, "Well, but I want some sugar, too, in my tea. So you better write this down." And he replied, "I can remember iced tea with sugar, honey." Then she said, but I also want a slice of lemon in it, too. But you better write this down." And he said, "I can remember iced tea and honey in the sugar, honey." So he left the room grumbling to himself. A few minutes later, he comes back, and he's got a plate of mashed potatoes, which he gives to his wife. And she yells at him. She says, "Now look what you've done. You forgot my gravy." The point is, do you have a memory problem? Do we all have memory problems? Yes. Do you find yourself suddenly, like, forgetting things? Well, sudden memory loss is usually a result of brain trauma, and it could be temporary or permanent. But, you know, when it's caused by medical conditions such as, say, Alzheimer's disease, the memory loss is gradual but also permanent. Now, as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, the challenge that Moses often offered involves the process of remembering. On at least 6 different occasions, Moses said, "Thou shalt remember." Now, the word "remember," its roots, means to mark. To mark. Now, the idea is that there are certain things that we are to mark in our heads, in our hearts, in our minds. Or to put it another way, Moses was telling his people that there are certain things that they were never to forget, such as who they were. In the wilderness, God occasionally asked the Israelites to build stone altars as testimony to some important events that had occurred. Now, wherever God performed a miracle, a provisions or a victory, his people were to build an altar. Did you ever wonder why? There's a sign. God wanted to remind people of who they were as a people and who they were supposed to represent. So one day when their children asked, "What do these stones mean?" their fathers were to remind them of God's greatness as they traversed the wilderness for 40 years out of Joshua. They simply could not afford to forget. So who are you? Who are you? And who am I? Who are we as a church? Well, I would say that we are Methodist Christians serving God through our Redeemers to make the disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by being home to welcome, nurture, and celebrate God and everyone else. We know this. Pastor Sonny talks about it every Sunday, about our obligations. We are our Redeemer's United Methodist Church, which means that each one of us is the mark of God's hand over our church. This means a transition from attendance, our attendance, to becoming an owner of our faith. A transition from being consumers of religion to contributors to religion. God has designed his ministry to be fulfilled in our Redeemers already, but you know what? He leaves the individual roles that we each play up to our own choosing. By viewing church as a team effort here at our Redeemers, this single principle is the most important. In Ephesians chapter 4, insists that the saints are here to do the, quote, work of ministry. Saints are not just those brave and wonderful Christians of years past who lived miraculous lives and died for their faith. You know why? Because God calls every one of us, whom He has chosen to be part of His plan, His saints. That's us. We're the saints. Peter even once called us a royal priesthood. Now, somewhere along the line, we kind of forgot who God created us to be. So instead of fulfilling our own callings, we kind of hire people to do it for us. We interview potential surrogates, substitutes, if you will, and if they can preach and do business for the church, then we give them jobs. Then after a few years, if they've done a really good job of preaching, visiting the sick, performing weddings and funerals, we vote to renew the call so that we can continue to let them do all the heavy lifting for another several years. Is that what we do? Do we hire ministers and pastors, staff people, to take care of the religious aspects of our lives for us? Do we? You know, doing church as a team endeavor is a return to the way that God originally designed the church to function. The ministry of the church is not the responsibility of a few paid professionals. It is the divine responsibility of each one of us in this room. Yeah, every member of our Redeemers is a minister. That's what God said. In fact, He calls upon us to be full-time ministers. Full-time ministers. No. We're not talking about like full-time paid position ministers with benefits. No. But He does talk about full-time, not just on Sundays, not just during Bible studies, but full-time 7 days a week. Let's put it another way. You'll have a show of hands on this. How many of us love God part-time? We have a couple of tentative. You probably are the honest ones. Who knows? How many of us love God part-time? No, we don't really want to say that we do. How many of us really want to be in heaven part-time? There's a good one. Once we get to heaven, you want to be there part-time? The other time? No, we're all full-time citizens of heaven, given a commission and an assignment to accomplish what we need to do during our short stay on the planet. Then before you're a businessman, you are first a full-time minister of Christ. Before you're a homemaker, you're a minister for Christ. Before you're a student, you are a minister of Christ. Before you're a grandparent or a CEO, first and foremost, you are a minister of Christ, a servant of God's purposes during your temporary travels upon this planet. Now, some people may protest, but I don't work for the church. I work for the state. You know, I work for the police department. I work for the construction company. I work for a school. I work for a church. I work for any number of things. The company pays me. The church doesn't pay me. So where do you get off calling me a full-time minister? Well, sometimes we mistake the channel of our provisions for the source of our provisions. The Bible tells us clearly that God is our provider, not our companies, not our businesses. If you trace your paycheck back to its true source, yeah, it's true, your first stop is going to be at your place of business where you actually get your paycheck. But the trail doesn't stop there. If you keep following the trail of your true provisions, you'll find that all of our real paychecks can be traced back to the very throne of God. It's like tracing stereo wires to the true source of the music. This is a great metaphor that Pastor Sonny provides. It's like tracing stereo wires to the true source of the music. Yeah, you might hear notes from the speakers, but they're kind of meaningless and doesn't provide anything. And without a solid connection to the original source of the music, the artists and the instruments that create the actual music. And just as the artists provide the music, God is our provider. He chooses to use various forms of employment through which He provides, but it is He who provides. Even if you're self-employed, the Bible reminds us, but you shall remember, that word, remember, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you the power to make wealth. That's also from Deuteronomy. Well, why is it then that God relays our paychecks to us through our jobs and companies and places of employment? Why? Because we are where we are because it is the best place and the best way to reach people for Christ with our personalities and our gifts. As Christians, we are the ambassadors of God. And as Methodists, we are full-time ministers representing God in the world. God puts us where we are, put where our church is, so that men and women and girls and boys in our neighborhood and within our sphere of influence will have a handy guide around them when they go to seek God and perhaps even reach out for Him in order that they may actually find Him. So let's ask one more time. Who are we? Did you remember? We are citizens of heaven. Why are we here? We're here to minister to our neighbors, our co-workers, and the many others who God has placed in our path and will continue to place in our paths. So don't forget. Remember who we are. And then, go forth into the world. Be an ambassador for our faith. You know what? Don't settle to make a difference. No, don't settle to make a difference. Anybody can do that. Make an improvement. Make our time together here, in this place, in this world, in this church, on this street, count. Remember who we are. We're our Redeemers, and we are Christians.